Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. Welcome to the show. Today, we have some wonderful guests. I want to first tee this up. Coronavirus has been with us for almost a year now. There's been a lot of things that have occurred to people who have worked in mid, upper level management and some industries where the companies have decided to become more nimble. They've cut out that level of management. A lot of people said, I think I need to go start my own business. A lot of people are creating offshoots of businesses and they're trying to figure it out. Don't worry, we have Thomas Michael Hoggs here. He's the author of the book, Profitable Growth Strategies, 7 Proven Best Practices from German Companies. But here's the big thing. Thomas has helped 300 plus businesses achieve a 7 to 12 figure earnings, and he's here to help. In the second half of the show, a lot of people don't realize this, but 40% of Americans are unable to handle a $400 emergency. Save Your Life and their CEO, Lee Phillips, is going to look about changing that. In fact, they're already helping out 300,000 people across the country and love to help more. She's going to talk to us about the earned income tax credit that whether you need to save or you just don't understand it, she's going to talk to you about how to go about getting it. We want to start with our first guest. Besides Thomas helping business owners make a lot of money, Thomas is a consultant and mentor with 20 plus years marketing experience, work experience in countries like Germany, Mexico, Switzerland, and here in the US. He's worked and advised for global companies such as Pepsi, Adidas, Campbell's Soup, and many others. He's the founder and managing director of THM Consulting and Investment Group. Thomas is also a columnist for El Financiero. He's been featured on Bloomberg TV, CNN Expansion, and many others. Thomas, welcome to the show. We're glad to have you.
Thanks a lot, Steve. So nice to be with you.
Yes. I know you're coming from us from Monterrey, Mexico, which is really cool. It's interesting that you've got some decent weather there as well, as opposed to if you're a little more east, it'd probably be a little more snowy and you'd probably have a jacket on, but that's a different story. So we understand where you come from. I'd love for you to just spend a few moments on your story.
I mean, it started my career in 2005, where I got the confirmation from Adidas to work from them. It was 1 year before the soccer, as we say, the football World Cup in Europe. It was a great experience for me to start to work for this great company. I mean, for this sporting goods giant. And it was 1 year before the World Cup when we prepared and launched all the product in the category for the 2006 World Cup in Germany. So there kind of I started getting in touch with customer value, getting in touch with product management, and what we are going to talk a little bit more about, profitable growth. And working with highly competitive professionals day in, day out was amazing. And obviously, Steve, it was for me a kind of a dream come true to work for my favorite sport brand. And then furthermore, I got into the consulting business. So there I worked for some more projects, as you said, Campbell's Soup and PepsiCo, but also Johnson Controls and more B2B companies. And some years ago, I founded a consulting firm actually focusing on strategy planning, commercial strategy and analysis of markets and customer analysis and service. So this is kind of where my journey starts and where I'm kind of now. It's kind of exciting times for me because I was really busy even with COVID and Corona because of my because of my book, and many company owners needed some help to how to get out of this crisis.
Yes, you know what? When people found out that you were going to be on the show, that our viewers started popping in comments. And one of the things that I think there's people, you know, your book is based off some best practices for German companies, and I don't people realize that there's a Japanese business model, there's an American business model, and there's a German business model. Could you kind of explain the difference of those three for our listeners?
There's, as you said, I mean, there's rarely you can find a lot of literature about the German business model. I mean, we all, and I do admire the American business model. I mean, it's really focused on marketing. It is focused also on investment, and you have also, I mean, this always, I mean, this financial ecosystem where you can have venture capital and where you can have angel investments or venture capital to boost the business or your startups in the first years. And then we know all the success stories of Google, Microsoft, Tesla coming up now. And then actually the Japanese business model is kind of similar to the German one. And there's the Chinese business model, which is so important nowadays because of the power and the growth of this incredible economy. But at the end of the day, it's all about competitiveness. So we can talk about countries, but then I can give you the example of Germany. But at the end of the day, it's about how competitive is your business in the market. And now, I mean, the markets are consolidating right now. So your competitiveness is so, so important. And the German business model is really interesting. The backbone of the German economy are the small and medium-sized businesses. Germany has more than 1,500 market leaders in different niches. This is unique in the whole world. There's no other country with more market leaders in different sectors or in different industries. Where we talk a lot about engineering, where we talk about cars and the automotive industry. But the German business model is so successful, not only because of the big brands we know, Mercedes, BMW, Audi, Adidas, Bayer from the pharmaceutical side, but also because of these small and medium-sized companies who are globally successful and are so important for the economy and the society because of the employment.
I see. Okay. So now what I'd like to do is start talking about, you know, your book, Profitable Growth Strategies. You know, and if somebody were to read that, what would they be able to derive from it and how could it benefit them?
First of all, understanding that the term profitable growth, this is a term maybe when you go to the corporate business world, it's a common term. But when we talk about when we talk to business owners, company owners, or entrepreneurs, this term is not so familiar. So this is how to get in a profitable growth zone, and why profitable growth is important. Because profitable growth means you have at the same time top and bottom line growth. This means you increase your sales and revenues. It is really difficult because all the studies we have seen and studies we have carried out, we have seen only 25% of all the companies are achieving to be in a profitable growth zone, which means to having a constant revenue and a profit growth. It's really difficult to get into this zone, though. This is would be the first, I would say, golden nugget to say, okay, what's about profitable growth? And this is so important also for startups and for company owners and to know, okay, what are the margins in the industries? What are the goals and the objectives in the industries from my competitors and peers? And where is the first bar on this financial objectives I have to reach? No, then we can go on the details how we reach the profitable growth.
Okay. Now, you have five crucial concepts that enhance any business's achieving customer value, employee value, and obviously top and bottom line growth. The first one's quality is king. So, could you kind of explain that to our audience there?
We have kind of a reputation for German products that the German products are quality products. I mean, mm-hmm. Made in Germany stands kind of for quality. I can give you an example. When I worked for Adidas in my first day, when I walked in the testing or the R&D center, we had to certify the products or soccer balls with the FIFA. And there, I mean, you test quality and say, okay, bouncing materials and also durability. But the most important thing or lesson learned from me was there, they told me, hey, Thomas, look, all our competitors, they try to reach or to achieve the FIFA standard, which we can say it's 100. And they told me, but here in our testing center, we try to achieve 150. We really try to achieve a superior quality. And so we can, our competitive advantage is about quality. And this is kind of a mindset you need to have. I mean, really, we talk about a lot of customer value, but at the end of the day, I mean, it's about quality. It's about quality about your service. It's about quality about your product. And there, it's all about how you set the bar and how high you set your bar.
Mm-hmm. So basically what you're saying is the quality of the product, whether it be software, whether it be a soccer ball or car or shoe or whatever, it's got to be the top quality and it's got to be over and above the rest of your competitors. If it is, you'll likely have a product that will last and you would be able to receive. And what's the next step after? I mean, obviously there's cost to go in a soccer ball. Are you able to, was Adidas able to achieve a higher price point by having that quality and make better profits or?
Always. I mean, when we talk about quality, we talk about added value and we talk about pricing, right? So this is one of the most important thing. You get higher margins out of quality products, obviously, and you will be a more profitable company. So this is why we're talking about profitable growth. Quality is one key experience or key goal. You need to be more profitable.
Okay. So if you're a service company, like a financial services company, that whole process that you're taking from, you know, meeting the customer, evaluating the customer, providing a quality financial advice, and then an implementation, that whole process has to be the standard in the industry.
Nowadays, we have all new words. I mean, the customer journey, customer experience. But at the end of the day, it's the same. It's the same as service quality. At the end of the day, so it has to do obviously to understand the customer, and to serve a customer and be relevant for a customer. And at the end of the day, to have, when we talk about financial service companies or services, I mean, there you need to give them a return on investment and product who are last products who are beating the competitors. I mean, these are the ones where you get a higher return on investment.
That's excellent. Hey, you know what? We're going to stop right there. We're going to take a quick little break and then we'll be back. So stick with us. We've got more with Thomas Michael Hoggs and his book, Profitable Growth Strategies, because he's imparting some wonderful knowledge to us. So hold on, we'll be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, and I want to welcome you back to Saving with Steve. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you all for joining us, following us, recommending to your friends, families, associates to come and watch us here on Saving with Steve. If you'd like to follow us on Facebook, you can go to the Saving with Steve Sexton Facebook page or go to the savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. You can see all the recordings of the shows. If you're in the United States, you can see us on Monday nights throughout the United States at 6 p.m. Tuesdays in England and many other countries in Europe. And then we're off to the streaming sites after that. So if you'd like to follow us, you can go to our YouTube page at Saving with Steve section on YouTube. Again, I want to thank some of our networks. That's BBS Radio, UK Health Radio, New York TV, and Stitcher, as well as YouTube. I want to thank them all for helping us spread the message. If you have a problem, we want to provide solutions and help you with living a life of personal and financial freedom. So welcome back to Saving with Steve, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. We have Thomas Michael Hoggs, author of the book, Proven Growth Strategies. We've been talking about the five critical concepts that will enhance any business achieving customer value, employee value, as well as solid top and bottom line growth numbers. So Thomas, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being here with us again. We just finished talking about how quality is king. Now, let's go into the next one, which is innovation is best. So help us understand that. Why is innovating a very important thing?
At the end of the day, when we talk about innovation, it's not only the term innovation. You need for us, and then comparing a little bit about the German model, innovation for us are functional products or functional services at the end of the day. So innovation one, you need a functional service or product, and secondly, you need a return on investment on each innovation. So innovation is important. So you need, when you start a business, when you want to lead a niche or your market, I mean, you have to invest in R&D. You have to have a budget for innovation. You have to, obviously, you need resources to be a company who is innovating, and it's a company who's at the end of the day adding value. So this is one of the key points also of the German business model, that they do invest in R&D, and that not only the companies, also the government. When we see Germany is investing 3% of its GDP in R&D, Israel, for example, it's investing 5% of its GDP in R&D, but there are a lot of countries who do not invest as much, and not only talking about countries, but there are not as many companies who do invest in R&D. This was the case when I worked at Adidas. We have seen Nike was spending a little bit more on marketing, on ads, and Adidas is spending a little bit more on R&D. What is a clear focus for functional product and quality?
I see. So it's important to look at finding the best product and continually develop it, in getting those, advancements in that product, so athletes can perform better, whether they're wearing clothes, socks, shoes, or just kicking a soccer ball. And when it comes to like US, we saw Nike, their focus was more on marketing and spreading the word and making it cool to have their products. So when you look at brands like Porsche and things, companies like that, obviously, people pay a premium for that innovation that they have.
That's true. At the end of the day, it's about performance. And I do remember when I started at Adidas, it was really when you learn about the history of the founder, Adolf Dassler or Adi Dassler, he just had one mission. He had one purpose. This was helping with products to help the athletes to perform better. And at the end of the day, this should be our mm-hmm. everyday task, and with our company to service a product and to make our clients better or to help and support them. And then and this really, this focus on product, this focus on performance, I guess sometimes we just forget the importance on quality and innovation, and you have to spend time and money to be a benchmark company if you want so.
Mm-hmm. And then the next one is obviously lead your market, and we're talking about that right now. So so what are the big things that people or companies don't do or make a mistake in doing and they don't end up leading their market?
selling too many products or services to too many segments or too many clients. So it's not clear what your product is about and for whom is your product. So it's really important that, I mean, the saying, the riches are in the niches is coming, really is coming true, because I mean, there you have a focused product, you have a product for a specific segment, and there you can focus, and there you should try to be the best in this segment or in this niche. And this is kind of, again, this is kind of this German business model where sometimes our culture is a little bit black and white, and we are a little bit rigid in the things how we are doing. But in when it comes to strategy, we really in the German business, we focus and try to be the best in our market. We being the best in your market, this means, Steve, that you drive a natural demand for your product and your services when you do have the highest quality for a specific segment.
That's right. That's great. Okay, so what about, I know this is more German and European, and so leave the country.
I mean, leave the country has to do with export, exporting, mm-hmm. and again, I will start again. If you have a high quality, and this is what it would happen to a lot of these small and medium sized German companies, and very often still family businesses, focusing on quality, innovation, being the best in your market drives this natural demand. So they kind of export. And what means export means more sales. More sales means, and this in your strategy plan, your geographical footprint is really important. I mean, you can have an extraordinary product, but if you're just staying in your town and you're not leaving your town, talking about, I mean, a national footprint, mm-hmm. or like later international footprint, I mean, you have to leave your country or you have to leave your town. And you have to do an analysis. Okay, where is my target market? Maybe your target market is in Asia, because I mean, because when we talk about market size, and all the big brands, talking about Audi, talking about the German automakers, they are really huge in China, and this is where I end the future battle about the electric car market will be in China at one point of time.
Mm-hmm. You know what? It was interesting because I had experience in my previous business working overseas. We sold American houseware items. And when we were in England, the bowls and the serving dishes and all that worked out really, really well. But when they started looking at providing containers, it didn't work out well because everybody didn't have the same sort of refrigerator you have in the United States and didn't have the same sort of covered space. They didn't have the same size house, the whole shot. So that division really had some issues. And on top of that, when we went to countries like South Africa or Australia, everything went really, really well because of one, size of refrigerators, two, everybody loved the American-made products, and it was very, very, very profitable for us. In fact, it was even more so profitable than what we actually had in the United States, just because of the mystique or the need for American-made items at that time. Now, we have about 2 minutes left. I'd just like to talk about how you go about working with a business owner when you're doing coaching, and then where's the best place for people to get a hold of you, your book, and so on.
I like and I really love to help a business owner, a company owner, or even an entrepreneur to get from point A to the point B, and having a vision. Okay, what's your financial vision? How big do you see your company? Talking about sales, so helping on this company growth journey. Helping to take the right decisions, helping to make strategies, and also help them in the implementation part. So we are doing a deep analysis about your market, about your target market, about your strengths and weaknesses, and then we understand also a little bit the competition, and then we make a strategy plan, and I help you along talking about at least 10 months to penetrate this market and to mm-hmm. achieve profitable growth. And you can reach me on my website, profitablegrowthstrategy.com. And I'm in LinkedIn, Thomas Michael Hawk, I guess there where I interact most with business and company owners.
Now, I'll say this. I want to thank you for being on the show today. I have read a good portion of your book, and I love it for my business, and I saw many parallels of what we did when we were overseas, and I just smirked and said, okay, we did it right. so I want to, again, thank you for being part of the show today. If you'd like to talk to Thomas Michael Hogg, you want to go to provengrowthstrategies.com. And you know what? I wish you all the success, and you know, maybe we'll have you on again in the future. We'll see you, Michael. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Steve. It was really great. It was a great experience.
I'll see you. Bye.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Okay, that was Thomas Michael Hogg. Welcome back. I think that was just wonderful. I can't say enough for Thomas. He's been a great advocate of the show. We look forward to having him on. And in the second half, or this little segment, I just want to say, hey, I truly thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you letting your friends know, family and associates know about the show. All the replays are available at www.savingwithsteve.us. That's www.savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories and helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a show. Check us out. Check out a few of our affiliates, UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Network. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of financial and personal freedom. You know what? You can also follow us on Facebook and join the Saving with Steve Insiders Club. Again, get replays, the whole shot right there. Now, this next segment, we're going to be talking about something that's coming into the U.S. and it's in our environment because we have a new administrator here in the White House. And that administrator has talked about increasing taxes. And that has become a concern for many, many people. And as such, we've seen a large interest in doing a Roth conversion. Now, the interesting part about this has become so popular. You know what? People don't quite understand there's good and bad about it. It's important to understand what you're getting into here. And the reason why I say this is I spoke to a gentleman a number of years back that he, the previous year, converted about $1 million into a Roth IRA, paid all the money or paid what he thought were the taxes were. And then when it came tax time, he went, oh my, and he didn't realize the taxes were that high. He didn't realize the impact on his Social Security, his Medicare. He just went, oh my gosh. And when he got to my office, he said, hey, how do we unravel this so I don't have to pay the taxes all this year? And back then, there was a provision to where you can unravel a Roth conversion if it wasn't working out for you. Okay. In fact, it was a great strategy. Now, I want to make sure everybody understands, if you're looking at a Roth conversion, it's a tool. It's a tax strategy you utilize. It isn't a financial product. Okay. The cool things about a Roth conversion is once you have the money into the Roth, you have the ability to take out the money out of the Roth tax-free. You don't have to take a required minimum distribution off it. If you walk out on life, you have the ability to enable somebody that you love, receive it, and get it tax-free. Now, that's interesting now, isn't it? Okay. So let's talk about the next piece. Here's the good and bad. Okay. You're going to pay taxes on the money you convert. Hey, there's no age or income restrictions for the Roth conversion. Okay, that's good. But here are some pitfalls and some traps. First of all, you know you're going to have to pay taxes on it. The problem is, is you're typically pushing your tax bracket higher. So that means when you do a conversion, you're going to pay a higher amount of taxes because you're in a higher tax bracket. Okay? If you exceed the Medicare high income level, which is about $175,000 for a married couple, you're going to have to pay more on your Medicare. And that surcharge could go as high as $500 per person if it's a married couple per month. Now, there's also Social Security. Now, if you're paying 85% of your Social, you're paying tax on 85% of the Social Security, you got to remember you're paying tax at whatever your tax rate is. And as such, you know what? The higher your tax bracket, the higher taxes you're going to pay. If you decide, if your income's exceeding $445,000 here in 2021, you're going to end up paying an additional surtax for Medicare of 3.8%. So let's give you that example. We have $1 million in an IRA that's never been taxed. Currently, you're going to pay federal taxes, state taxes. If it's California, it's 13.3. And then if it's, since it's over 445,000, you're going to pay a 3.8% surcharge on Medicare, which is approximately about 54% of it. That means you're going to lose $540,000 to taxes. Now, you're going to have some really great tax planning in place in order to make sure that works, okay? Now, Now, there's some other things you need to know about. One, if you want to take money out, you'll have to be in a position to where you're over the age of 59 and a half. If you're not over the age of 59 and a half, guess what? You're going to have to pay a 10% surcharge, okay? If you put money in and take it out in less than 5 years, the income that, on the money that you took out will also be taxed because there's a 5-year rule. See, it's really important that you understand that have an obligation according to the tax code if you're taking money out in less than 5 years and you from the deposit of the Roth. You're going to pay taxes on it. After that, you won't pay any taxes. So it's very important that you look at that. Now, here's the most important thing. You need to make sure you do this with a financial advisor and a tax person. Why? One, the tax person's going to tell you what your tax liability is, okay? That person's going to tell you how much you're going to owe federal, state, Medicare surcharge. Next, the financial advisor. You need to understand the impact financially on your retirement of this decision on not only short term, but long term. The last thing you need is when you're 85 years old to have the doctor say, you're going to live another 5 years, but you only have 2 years worth of money. Okay. We had that one client I talked to you about when we did an analysis. Okay. At the time that they had done the, you know, his conversion before he came into our office, we had figured out that, you know what, his assets after he did that conversion, even if he got a good rate of return in the market, were only going to last him and his wife until they're 82. And their average age in the family was in the 90s. So you can see how that's not a good decision. And that's why you need a financial advisor. Now, what we did do is we unraveled it and then created a plan to convert during his sweet spot, which is after he retired and before he took out his required minimum distribution. And by doing so, he figured out that, you know what, he can be far more tax efficient, pay less taxes over his lifetime, and have a big lump of money that would go off to his heirs tax-free, and they wouldn't have to take a required minimum distribution, and neither would he, okay? So here's a couple of things here. 5-year rule is very important. You want to ensure you're going to pay the least amount of taxes over your lifetime. Couple notes. Financial advisors rarely recommend that a client convert their entire IRA at once unless their circumstances have put them in a good position to offset the tax bill. If you saw your income drop in 2020 because of furlough or being laid off or your business shut down, converting your entire IRA could make sense, assuming you can pay the tax bill without draining your emergency fund. So again, look at everything you can with that 5-year rule. It makes a big difference. I wanna thank you all. Stick with us. We are going to be right back with some Lee Phillips and Savers Life, okay?
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show. I want to thank friends, family, for all watching and viewing us. If you'd like to see past episodes, you can go to savingwithsteve.us. If you'd like to follow us on Facebook, it's Saving with Steve Sexton. And I'd just like to say thanks to many of our networks, BBS Radio, UK Health Radio, 247 AM FM. And you know what? We're all here to help you uplift your spirits, solve problems, and live a life of financial and personal freedom. Now, what I'd like to do is just take a moment and introduce Lee Phillips. Lee is the president and CEO of Saver Life, a national nonprofit that helps working families achieve prosperity through savings. Since joining in 2015, Lee has transformed the organization from a local direct service organization to a leading technology financial nonprofit. Now, Saver Life now serves over 300,000 clients in 50 states. I love this mission. The mission is to inspire, inform, reward millions of Americans who need help saving. Through engaging technologies, strategic partnerships, we give working people the methods and motivation to take control of their financial future. I think that's beautiful.
Well, thank you. And thanks so much for having me.
Well, you're welcome. Now, you know, what I really like to know, and I think a lot of our viewers and listeners would like to know, is how did the organization get started?
Well, Saver Life has actually been helping low-income American families to build savings and to invest in themselves and their futures for about 20 years. We originally started as a different name. We were called EARN. And for the first, 12 or so years of our existence, we were focused on helping families save money and acquire assets. So really looking at how home ownership, business ownership, and post-secondary education really helps people break out of the cycle of poverty. And we did that for, you know, the first 12 or so years before my time with the organization. But then, Steve, we realized that the problem is actually much bigger, right? So basic financial stability is out of reach for millions of American households. And I know that you're probably familiar with some of the statistics that even before this this pandemic, 40% of American households don't have $400 in the bank to cover a financial emergency. So we started really looking at this issue and thinking, well, how does that lack of liquidity, that lack of savings, that lack of a cushion really actually inhibit people from getting ahead and staying ahead? And because we realized that, you know, some of the barriers to big things like home ownership and business ownership and education actually had more to do with people's ability to get through financial emergencies and stay on track, stay out of debt. So we actually changed what we focused on around kind of 2013-14 and decided to really look at how can we help millions of people build a habit of saving. So really get into the habit of saving every paycheck every month. How can we help people build basic financial stability so that every time there's an unexpected event, like a flat tire or medical expense, something like that, that it doesn't derail people's financial lives. And of course, we're based here in San Francisco, next to Silicon Valley. So we became very interested in how could a nonprofit organization really start tapping into emerging technology. So financial technology, so many great new products and apps out there designed to help people manage their money. But how could we design those specifically to work for people who are lower income, who don't often get a lot of that, attention, right, from the mainstream financial system. So together, Save & Life over the last 20 years has been on this journey to really help people save. We believe that saving money is a key indicator of economic mobility. And we now actually have almost 500,000 clients across the US who have joined. So yeah, and I know we'll talk a little bit more about this, but a lot of them, we saw significant growth last year. So even in the midst of a pandemic, we're now seeing people paying a lot more attention, I think, to their household finances.
I think the pandemic has required people to focus on that so much more. And I think there's also more people who've also moved from if they had the money, now they don't because of what's happened with the pandemic. So they really need your help, and they really need good habits. And then one of the things that I wanted to ask you, how you go about helping people create that I don't want to say repetitive, how do I save? How do I focus on saving? How do I go about doing that?
So there's a couple of things that we look at Save Your Life. So the first is really understanding the lives of people who maybe have less income and what that looks like in a financial context. So what we see amongst our clients is, you know, people's income goes up and down. A lot of people are working hourly wage jobs. They may be self-employed. They may be working in the gig economy. And they don't have a lot of stability, first off, in their income. So this is a big issue that we don't talk about that much, but it's really come to light in recent years. So we see people's income going up and down, sometimes by $1,000 a month or more, month over month. Sometimes it's higher, sometimes it's lower, right? Mm-hmm. So it becomes very difficult for people to manage and stay on track of their bills and other expenses when you don't know how much money is coming in the door. And so a lot of financial services are kind of designed probably more for people like me, right? We get paid, my husband and I, the same amount of money every 2 weeks, very consistent. But for millions of people, that's not the case. So the first thing we really try and do is to understand the realities of people's financial lives, right? There's a lot of volatility in income. There's a lot of unexpected expenses, and there's a lot of increasing expenses. The second thing we do is we try and make saving money engaging and rewarding and fun. So, you know, we say that saving money, kind of like, you know, not eating all the chocolate and things, is the kind of thing that we all want to do tomorrow. You know, like we don't, but we'll do that tomorrow, right? It's really easy to put it off.
After Valentine's Day.
Of course, right? Yeah, after the holidays, after Valentine's Day, whatever's on the horizon. So what we encourage people to do is to really start small, because the other thing is it can be really intimidating, especially if you don't have a lot of extra income. So we encourage people to start small, to do what they can. And we do that by using technology to do savings challenges and games and other things where people can make saving kind of a fun and rewarding experience. So that includes things like you can win prizes, cash prizes on the Save Your Life site. So if you save every week, you can get scratch cards and other things to play to win prizes. We do races. So we encourage people to try and save, for example, $100 within a period of time. And there's prizes given out weekly and grand prizes and things like that. And we also encourage people to do other actions at different times of the year. So right now we have a big focus on tax time, mm-hmm. big infusion of cash for many people. How can we leverage that moment to get people to really start thinking about that money before it hits their bank account? So it's a lot of behavioral science, a lot of technology, and just, you know, a lot of fun.
Now, you know what? I was looking on your website and I noticed there's a community website or a community page on the website. And why is that really important?
It is. Well, it's one of the things that we find our savers value most about Save Your Life is being a part of a supportive online community. So, you know, life is really hard for a lot of people. That was true before the pandemic. It's definitely true now. And having an environment where not only can you focus on your individual financial situation, but you can engage with and learn from people who are in a similar situation, we find that's really valuable. So we have a lot of resources on the website so people can connect to different content. They can learn during this particular time when things are so hard. They can connect to other resources in their community. So food assistance, housing assistance, debt counseling, credit counseling, those types of things. But also they can connect with each other and, you know, share their perspectives and experiences. So what we focus on at Save Your Life is making saving celebratory, right? And encouraging people for what they are able to do and rewarding positive action, as opposed to a lot of, you know, the financial system, which focuses, has kind of a negative bent to it, right? It's like you should be doing this, and if you don't do this, then it's bad and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So we really want to celebrate change and encourage people to know that change is possible. So we have a lot of engagement from our members We share a lot of stories about what people have changed in their lives that's been successful for them. And we find that really encourages people.
So what are the big, what are the biggest things that people are changing when they first start saving?
So we encourage people to really think about starting small and being consistent, right? So every paycheck, are you able to set aside, it may be $5, it may be what you can afford, it may be 20, it may be 100, and encouraging people to make those kind of initial steps. So what we find is that when people join Saver Life, if they take a positive action within the first 30 days, they're much more likely to continue. We also find that people who maybe have a savings balance below $100 when they join, once they get over 100, then they're able to like move much more rapidly and start saving. And, you know, I think that in some ways saving money is kind of addictive. Like once you start seeing that balance grow and you start seeing that success, or once you have an experience where something happened in your life that was unexpected and you had the money to pay for it. Like we hear from our clients that that's really rewarding, right? Like I didn't have to borrow money. I didn't have to go into debt. I didn't have sleepless nights. I was able to actually cover that expense, or I was able to, you know, treat my kids. You know, the little things that really make a difference. So we really focus on encouraging people to start and to start small and to not be intimidated.
Now, what's a part of what you do is education. So could you talk about Money 101 a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we have a lot of resources on our website. We partner with a lot of financial coaches across the country. Particularly people who understand the lives of working Americans. So that's what we're really looking for. We do have a policy that the only advice you will get on Saver Life has been created by someone who is qualified and certified to actually give financial advice. So that's our promise to our members, that all of our content is created by people who are certified financial planners, credit counselors, you know, tax preparers, et cetera. So people who really are educated and know their stuff. So we cover a range of topics and we really poll and engage with our members to understand what they most struggle with and what they most want to know about. So some of that's kind of your basic financial stuff, right? Like understanding your credit, what goes into building a credit score, how to fix your credit. So again, we're very focused on making sure people have a basic level of financial stability, and then hopefully we'll build from there.
That's wonderful. You know what? It's time for a break. So you know what? Everybody, please stick with us. We're talking to Lee Phyllis at Savers Life. This is just a wonderful organization that's helping hundreds of thousands of people now. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome back to Saving with Steve, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. We have Lee Phillips at Saver Life. Lee, again, I want to welcome you back to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great chatting with you.
And you know what? Saver Life is a wonderful organization. They're helping out hundreds of thousands of people get the skills so they can start saving more, be more productive citizens in society, the whole shot. So if you're a major company listening to this, you might want to check into Saver Life. You could help a tremendous amount of people by your donation. So that being said, we're coming up on tax season. And taxes are a big thing for everybody. One of the biggest things I know about taxes is most people don't know what they don't know. And if they don't know how to ask those questions, that means they could be losing out on a lot of money. And one of those things that people lose out on is the earned income tax credit and the child tax credit. And Lee's here to talk about us, you know, Why is it so important that we get our fair share of this? What does it mean to lower income people? So Lee, please share that with us.
So for many families, but particularly for lower income working families in the US, what we find is that tax season is the largest infusion of cash that most people will get all year. It can actually sometimes be equivalent to about 25% of someone's annual income. And it comes in the form of a variety of credits that are designed to support work. So as you mentioned, the earned income tax credit mostly serves families with dependent children who are working people and make, you know, between $15,000 and the upper limit is $56,000 a year, somewhere around there. But, you know, it kind of peaks around $25,000 to $30,000 in income. So it's not a refund, it's credit. And the calculation is based on your income and your family size. And it's extremely important because what we see in our data is that when people receive that credit and that the whole package, the refund, as you mentioned, not everyone really knows what goes into it, right? Like what's child tax credit? What's the ITC? What's a refund on overpayment of taxes? But you know for most people that they get a pretty significant sum of money. And what we see people do with that money is use it as an opportunity to take a lot of very positive financial actions. So people use that money to catch up on bills and debt. So maybe paying off debt that's run up throughout the year, maybe paying medical bills. That's something that we see. In some cases, unfortunately, we do see people have postponed medical treatment and things like that until they have the cash to go and actually get those services. And we also see a lot of money being moved into savings, right? So people use this as kind of a forced savings opportunity. They put the money into savings and then they use that as their cash buffer throughout the year. So there's a lot of very important things. In fact, the earned income tax credit is often referred to as the single most important government program that keeps families out of poverty after Social Security. So it's really up there with a very important federal support. So that's what we kind of see people doing with their tax refunds, very usually very, you know, sensible things. And we really like at Save a Life to encourage what we call that tax time moment, right? So the way we do that is to encourage people to think about how they're going to spend that refund before they get it. So not waiting until the cash hits the bank. We're really taking a pledge in advance of getting the money to say, this year I'm going to pledge to save $500 of that refund or $1,000 in the refund. And when we see people take that pledge, we actually see over 80% of them do that action. So they actually go ahead and move that money into savings. So that's the kind of positive behavior that we like to see and reward at Save Your Life. So we have a big tax time competition where you can win prizes for filing your taxes for free. That's something that we encourage people to do. Low to moderate income people in the US have a range of options available to them to be able to file taxes for free. We don't want anyone paying for something that you can get for free. And those are from big name, you know, companies, right? Like the ones that we all use. And that's you can get that information through IRS Free File. So that's one action. We encourage people to pledge to save their refund and, of course, to go ahead and actually save it. But this year, and I know we're going to talk about this, is a little bit more complicated, Steve, than prior.
Yes, yes, it is. Please share us with that.
Well, so unfortunately, we're still in the grips of this pandemic, and the economic impact, particularly on low-income people, on hourly wage workers, and on women, has been particularly pronounced. So amongst our membership, it's about 500,000 people. Most of our members are working women and mothers. About 40% of them still are either unemployed or underemployed, have lost work because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And at the peak, I believe we had 60% of people have reported that at some point in the last year, they had a period of unemployment. So extremely high impact on this population that we're concerned with. So what that means in terms of taxes, as I mentioned, it's a bit complicated, but the EITC is based on working, right? It's not a credit for people who don't work. It's a credit for people who do work. If you didn't work and your income, your earned income, right, hence the name, earned income tax credit, was significantly reduced, you may be in for a smaller tax credit this year at a time when you really need it the most, right? So people have been hammered economically by this pandemic. They're going to need every single penny they can get. But what's happened is if you are unemployed for a significant period of time in 2020, unemployment insurance does not count towards tax credits, right? Their earned income. And so if your income, so for example, in a typical year was $25,000, $30,000, you would normally qualify for that full credit, the full EITC that you're eligible for. But if this year, maybe you only worked the first few months of the year or the last few months of the year, and your income is now $10,000 to $15,000 of earned income, and the rest was from unemployment insurance, you stand to lose hundreds, if not thousands of dollars in tax credit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very significant. And so we're very concerned about this. However, as part of the last relief bill that was passed, remember it was passed and not passed and passed at the end of the year, it was very confusing. There was a provision in there. It's very important. It's called the look back. Mm-hmm. So what that does, Steve, is it allows people to base their 2020 tax filing on their 2019 income and not their 2020 income.
That's significant.
It's very significant. Yeah, it's a little bit complicated, but it is significant. So if you earned $25,000 to $30,000 a year in 2019 and you only earned $10,000 to $15,000 in 2020, you're going to want to file your taxes most likely based on your 2019 income, not your 2020 income. So this, again, has happened late at the end of the year. We're already in the midst of tax season right now. A lot of people, particularly if you're going to get a big refund, you file as soon as you can, right? As soon as that W-2 comes in, you are like on the sites filing your taxes. So this year, we need people to know that they should get their 2019 return as well and have that ready so that when you go to file your taxes, you can decide what's better for me, right? How am I going to maximize my refund this year? Is it going to be using 2019 or 2020? And, hopefully your tax preparer or the software you use to file your taxes will guide you through that process. But there are also resources available in many communities with free tax prep and other resources that can help people determine what's best for them.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I didn't even know about the look back. that's great. So basically, at the end of the day, what people are able to do is they're able to look at their 2019 earnings and use them for 2020 in order to qualify for the tax credit. And when you're looking at the tax credit, if it's one child, that's $2,400, two children, $3,800, three children, it's $4,300. That's significant for people. And if they have the ability to look back in 2019 as opposed to 2020, that'll make a big difference, especially during this pandemic.
Absolutely. And our goal right now is to make sure that every family in this country gets every penny that they are entitled to and that they need to get through this time. The other reason why it's very important that everybody files taxes this year is that those stimulus payments, right, mm-hmm. went out to people based on their tax filing. So if you didn't file taxes, sometimes people don't file taxes because they don't own enough money. They don't actually have to file, mm-hmm. but they were still eligible for stimulus. And those families didn't get it because they weren't in that system because they hadn't filed taxes. So there was a lot of money that went out in the spring in the kind of April, May timeframe. At that point, about 30% of Save Your Life members said they hadn't received that money. If you've moved house, if you don't have direct deposit, if maybe you used a tax advance service, so you didn't, you got your refund in advance instead mm-hmm. of, waiting for it to come from the IRS. You may have missed out on some of those credits. And if you just didn't file because you didn't think that you needed to, again, then they passed the second round, right, of stimulus payments. And there was a short window for that money to be dispersed. So if you didn't get that money in the second round, so kind of December, January, you need to get it now when you file your taxes. So it's really important that even if you think that maybe you're not eligible, everyone under a certain income level is eligible for those payments, and it's significant amounts of money. And you may also be eligible for some of the other payments that happened in 2020 as well. Saverlife.org, SAVERLIFE.org. That's where you can go if you want information about our programs and services, or if you want to join Saverlife, everyone's welcome to join. Anyone that lives here in the US and is over age 18. And you'll find links there to learn more about us and also to make a donation if that's something people are interested in doing.
Lee, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Love what you're doing. It makes a big difference in the world. So,
well, thank you so much. And it definitely you're helping us get the word out there, which is very important. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. You have a wonderful day. Thanks for joining us.
Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye.
And all you need to do is just go ahead and hang up.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Have a good one.
We'll talk again. Take care, Steve. Bye-bye.
Hey, I want to thank you for joining us today. Again, one of the biggies here is this. We had Thomas, Michael Hoggs, author of Profitable Growth Strategies. Hey, profitablegrowthstrategies.com. If you want to get more information, figure out how that's done. We had Lee Phillips of Saver Life. They've helping out over 500,000 people save. They had some wonderful information on tax credits. I talked about the things you need to know about a Roth conversion. You know what? We'll look forward to seeing you next week right here. And I want to thank our network partners and affiliates, UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Network. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. Again, you can follow us at on Facebook at Saving with Steve Sexton, or go to the website at savingwithsteve.us. Look forward to seeing you next week. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.